Goos.
Okay, gentlemen, that is all of the public hearings for this evening. Now we're going to move on to old business, and we have three cases under old business. And our first one is case number 11,831.
Had to go there, didn't you?
I'm sorry?
Oh, 31. Okay.
Yep, 831. Yep.
And that's the Skoke one, I believe, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry?
That's the Skoke one, I believe is the name of the applicant. One thing that Mr. Lank brought to my attention, this one had two variances. One was from the corner yard setback on Truman Avenue, I believe, and then the other was from a buffering one. And you may recall that we had discussed that there's some additional variance standards from that requirement. Mr. Lang's brought it to my attention, though, that section of code actually has a grandfather clause in it, and it's pertains to lots that are created after a certain date. And this, I believe, Mr. Lang can correct me if I'm wrong, is one of those lots that was actually created prior to the enactment of that ordinance, in which case it would be grandfathered in from those buffering requirements.
Correct.
So under that, guys, it doesn't appear as though a variance would be needed from that requirement, though I think we would probably want to make that clear in any motion, mm-hmm. just so that it is clear that you all considered it and made it part of the record.
So it's 193F?
Yeah, it's 193, and when you look at it, there's actually, I think it's 193E. I don't have it in front of me. Okay. That actually provides for a grandfather clause for lots that were created before 1988, and then there was a revision of that ordinance in 1991. And when you look at that, the way it reads is that subdivision plats and site plans approved and of record in the Office of Planning and Zoning adopted July 19, 1988, were approved and similarly of record as of the effective date of this amendment adopted July 2, 1991, may be developed as of record and shall be subject to setbacks and buffer restrictions established for the use when originally approved. So because of that, this would not be subject to those buffer requirements. So the discussion about that portion I don't think is applicable in this case. So we wanted to make sure the board was aware of that.
Okay.
It was not something we had caught before the last hearing. So, Mr. Lank, I don't know if you've got any. I know you've got some more background on this than I do.
I have it in front of me, but in short, prior to 1988, there wasn't a setback other than the standard setbacks from the property lines. The state wouldn't allow you to encroach into the wetlands.
Right.
So in 88, we created a buffer requirement from tidal wetlands to be 20 feet, and then in 91 we amended it and made it 50 feet. So originally it was basically zero from wetlands, then it became a 20 foot from wetlands, and then it was changed to 50. So if you can create a lot today and there's state wetlands adjacent to that lot or on that lot, you have to set back 50 feet. If you create a new subdivision today, we don't try to allow any lot lines to include the wetlands, either state or federal. So we pull the lots. The lot becomes bigger even, and the property lines don't encroach, it becomes open space.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it had been changed, the ordinance was originally adopted in 88, and then it was amended in 91 to have a larger buffer requirement, which is why there's kind of three classes of properties. Those pre-88, there's pre 90, you know, 88 to 91, and then those after 91. So, apologize for the confusion there, but I think what that means before you all is that you just have a variance request from the corner setback requirement on the Truman Avenue side.
Of 5 feet.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But we should probably in the motion reference the other one just to cover that as well.
Okay.
No. I don't know how the rest of you feel, but I think that it's unique because of the wetlands, the lot shape, the you know, just the the lay of the land, if you will. And I think it's necessary.
I do.
To enable reasonable use and, you know, I don't know that you could build otherwise.
I don't think you could.
Right.
I don't know if they could.
So I don't see where it's created by the applicant and.
Nope.
You know, it's gonna, I think it's a minimum of four.
Four relief.
If we're all in agreement, then that would be my motion that.
If you'll make it, Mr. Mills.
That it's unique, because of, again, the wetland situation, shape of the lot. And I think it's necessary to enable reasonable use of the property, because I don't feel it can otherwise be developed in strict conformity, and that certainly isn't the fault of the applicant. I don't see where it'll alter central character of the neighborhood. We didn't hear any testimony that it would, or be detrimental to public welfare and a minimum to afford relief. And then further, just a note that
The buffer variance?
Yes, the buffer variance is not necessary.
Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Chairman, based on on that 193 being out of the picture and everything. Addressing the corner setback of 5 feet, I think I agree with Mr. Mills on that.
Okay.
There's no other way of being.
So I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickards that we approve case number 11,831. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Hudson?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickards?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Mills?
Aye for my reasons.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons that have been stated. So by a vote of 4-0, case number 11,831 is approved. Okay, our next case is...